If you will, look at the passage, Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 6. Let me read it to you. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed. We're blessed. It says there's a promise here, for they will be satisfied. They will be filled. We're going to pray together. Ash Wednesday's coming up this Wednesday. Our Easter focus, Lent, the Christian version of Lent. We take it from Matthew chapter 6. It's what we're going to be handling today, but it's upon us. And I'm doing the PACE prayer. I'll explain it to you, as some of you are new to our church. Some of you have been through it before, but you may have forgotten. It's a prayer by Adrian Rogers. Many of y'all have heard him preach, who's in glory now. But he discipled a lot of younger pastors. This was a prayer that he taught them in their own personal life. And obviously it has been passed down to me and to us. It's in the segment of a body prayer. The praise, we lift our hands in praise to him. Then we get to the A. The P is praise. The A is accept or receive. We hold our hands like we're holding an empty bowl for the Lord to fill it. The C is we lift our hands in surrender, control. And we're doing the PACE prayer because when it comes to adding prayer and devotion and fasting to your life over the Easter season, it's going to take you relinquishing control and surrender to that. And then the E is expectation. We hold our hands out wide in loving expectation that the Father is at work, always at work, and he's working in us. Obviously, you don't have to participate if you don't want to. And if you do, just be careful. Don't hit your neighbor, okay, when it comes to this. But let's bow. Let's go through the PACE prayer together, okay? Let's lift our hands in praise to the Lord. There's no one like you, Lord. There's no one above you. No other name under heaven and earth by which a man, woman, boy, or girl can be saved. There's nothing before you. No other gods before you. You're not second in our life. You're not top five in our life. You're number one in our life, or you're nothing. And Lord, our praise today is that we give you place and we give you praise that you are God, the only true God. And Lord, we hold our hands in the shape of a bowl, accepting and receiving all that you give to us, your grace and your mercy, Lord, you bestow upon us. Your love for us, Lord, it's an incredible love. We've denied you, disobeyed you, disappointed you, but yet you have loved us, and you love us with an everlasting love. And we receive that today. Lord, we receive forgiveness of our disobedient, sinful lives. They really can become a slap in the face to you. And we receive your forgiveness, Lord, of making us new and clean and whole. We receive salvation that only comes through your Son, Christ. And we give you thanks for him, Lord, today, the gift that he is to us. And then, Lord, we hold our hands up in surrender of control. We release it to you. You guide our steps. You direct our paths. Lord, you, as we've been singing, you're the author of our life. And we want our life to be in rhythm to you. And Lord, we deny ourselves and follow you, Lord. We just release control and surrender it to you. Lord, we stretch our arms out with great expectation that you are about your work. You're always at work. You're doing things that we will not only know now, but we will know in the future. You're connecting the dots. You're doing things that we will only see later on. And we trust you, Lord, we trust you. And not only, Lord, in your expectation of doing your work, but you work in us. And then also, Lord, we live in expectation that you work through us. And today, Lord, we ask your blessing upon two offerings, one that we gave that helps further your kingdom and advance and do the mission of you and the church. But we also brought another offering today, Lord, and that's us. And we ask your blessing upon us to send us to be your instruments, your ambassadors for you. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. You're tougher on me than anybody in this room. I'm under a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. God bless you. It's good to see you today. Thanks for being here. In Matthew 5:6, there's the promise of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And then that we are blessed. Not only are we blessed, but we are satisfied in him. And we're going to bring that into the teaching of Matthew 6 about his righteousness in just a moment. But I want to walk you through. I didn't grow up practicing an Easter focus. We just got ready for Easter services. And I want to apologize for something I said last Sunday. I said Lent just means 50. That was wrong. It means 40. My mouth was getting ahead of my mind. Pentecost means 50, which is what we look at after Easter. But Lent just simply means 40. And we are doing a Christian version of Lent. Please understand that. We take Matthew 6 and the sermon of Jesus here, and we apply it during this time of focus. He gives in Matthew 6 three spiritual disciplines. One is of giving, which is referred to as generosity. Praying would be the second focus, and then fasting would be the third focus. I want to remind you, it's important to Jesus that he put this in his sermon. When he's teaching people, and he was teaching this crowd of people, he saw it as very important to spend time here emphasizing giving and praying and fasting. So when we do these 40 days, and I'm going to explain it to you so that we'll all understand, I'm not going to assume that everybody knows how we're going to participate in this, if you do participate in it. These 40 days over the next few weeks, we are focusing and connecting with Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days. I want you to know that Satan, don't get into your mind that Satan led Jesus to the wilderness. Satan doesn't lead Jesus anywhere. If you'll read it, it says the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. It wasn't something that happened haphazardly, or he just landed there randomly. He went there as a time of great deep focus in his life. So the Spirit led him there. We know that coming out of that time in the wilderness, that the enemy is tempting him with those three temptations that are there. So I want you to see that this time of focus, as we begin Wednesday with Ash Wednesday and go through Easter, April the 20th, it's a time of adjusting. We're going to rearrange our life a little bit. It's a time of deep concentration. This is not just a casual approach. In other words, you're going to say, well, I'm going to fast, you know, from this food, and maybe I'll lose some weight. You know, it's not about multitasking in this, just for our own personal casual approach to it. This is a time of a much deeper focus. I'm going to mention it now. I'll mention it again during housekeeping. But we have in a table out in the lobby or in the hallway, one of the two places it'll be. Don't forget it. But it's an Easter code book. And we begin reading this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Young and old alike, get it. Get more than you need. Give them to friends. Give them to family. Give them to people at work. Give them to neighbors, whatever you want to do. It's wonderful. We went through it a few years ago. I still refer to it. It's wonderfully written. It's short. Hallelujah. We can say amen to that. It's got things for you to focus on. Prayers for you to use if you want to do that. But we begin doing this on Wednesday, and we want to do it together. This is something, you know, we're probably, you know, a few of you may talk about it, but overall, we probably won't talk about it. We'll not do that. But it's meant for us as a church and others to go through it daily together and to help with you in going through this time of focus. When we have this Easter focus, here's the simple, Logan calls them Jeffisms, but this is what I'll tell you. It's a time for the world to move out and the kingdom of God to move in. We're just really, it's the see and the pace prayer. I'm just giving up some control. I'm rearranging my life for more of the kingdom to come in and for some of the world to be able to move on its way out. So we start this Wednesday in your reading. We start practicing generosity, praying. And when we're praying, it's praying more often and even longer. It's both, it's longer and more often that we do this, but we begin this Wednesday, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that as well. When you're going through a fast, say, let's just say you're taking away one meal a day. When you're doing that, you need to replace it with something. So we're asking the time of prayer and devotion, maybe this reading. It's not going to take you an hour to read the daily readings and the Easter code that we're giving you, but it's to replace it with time spent with Him. We're not just leaving it empty. When you could be that you are limiting, you're limiting TV, or you're limiting food, or you're limiting social media. A couple years ago, I took a break from social media during Lent, Facebook specifically, and I've been off of it ever since. And I just want you to know I'm doing fine. Okay, I don't go to bed at night wondering what I missed out on. I can promise you that. But it may be that you're limiting social media, TV, whatever it is. It could be food, it could be sugar, it could be chocolate, it could be coffee. If it is coffee, I don't know that I want to be around you that much. But it could be a lot of things. There are things for you to look up. You have a mind of your own. You can figure it out as well. But we're replacing it. Prayer and reading and devotion, pondering, and then also listening. Listening to the Lord. How many of us actually ask the Lord of what Scripture says, the psalmist and others, and just say, Lord, I just want you to search me. We may read it, we may ponder about it, but do we really want Him to do that? And as a believer, we should. Scripture becomes a picture of, if there's anything in me, Lord, that is against you, that absolutely disappoints you, then reveal it to me. I want to know that. I want you to search. This time of focus becomes, we're asking the Lord to search me, O God. The Spirit, He searches even the deep things of God. And I don't want anything in my life that doesn't please you. Again, it goes back to holding my hands up in surrender. It becomes self-denial. The other day I preached about how the Lord saves us from sin and death and hell and ourselves. And when I said about ourselves, we seem to connect with that. Because we, again, I'll reiterate it, that we think the people should be like me, or people should be like you, when we all need to be shaped into the image of Christ. That is the ultimate goal of our lives. So the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And that's what fasting and practicing these, prayer and generosity during this focus can do to your life. A lot of times we deal with recognition. We want to be recognized. Many of you all have no idea who Andy Warhol is, but he had a famous quote that said, "We all crave our 15 minutes of fame." And we want recognition. As a believer, it's not what life is about. I can have a problem with some North American church culture, our United States church culture, because it's all about who's trending lately. You know, how many people are following? Has this Christian author or this speaker gone to a level of a platform that seems to prove themselves? I once had a meeting with some people in our church that I said, do y'all even pay attention to local pastors that have lived their life out in front of you for years? You know, because somebody comes in, they get all hyped up about it, and they don't even know them, really, other than their platform person. And if we're not careful, we'll go with the wrong metric of what it looks like. Like, how many people are following them? How are they trending? How are they being liked? How are they being trademarked? How are they being branded? All those things, like they've reached this level, when sometimes just living a simple life of faith in front of people goes so much more. It helps so much more. And One thing about a focus during this Easter season is it's going to be denying self. Praying and fasting and generosity is going to take you to rearrange you. And we need to be adjusted. I'm not talking about chiropractors, okay? And I'm not against them either. I'm just saying we need adjustments along the way. And that's what we're presenting to you today, is how we're going to practice this. There's so much that competes with my mind. The data input of my mind and our minds today are just incredible. We're worn out mentally just of the data input. There's so much that competes for our hearts, and there's so much that competes for our time. And we look at this as a time of surrender and a refocus between you and the Father. So here's how it works. You take Sundays off. I don't mean not show up. I love seeing you here, okay? But you break your fast on a Sunday. We're going to start this Wednesday and go through Saturday, and then break your fast on Sunday. Then, again, we're back in on it. Our focus is on Monday and through Saturday. We take the break on Sunday. And the reason Sunday is a time you break up to Easter is because we celebrate resurrection in that time. Our focus is on Him and on celebration there. So that's the timeline. If you need the logistics of that, that's the timeline that we do. So we begin this Wednesday. Hopefully, you'll do the Easter code. We are going to do markings. You'll hear about that again later. We practice Ash Wednesday here. We mark you, pray over you, and it's actually the ashes from the palm branches from last Easter are burnt, and they're mixed with oil, and then we just put the sign of the cross on you. We pray over you, repent and believe the gospel. It's a time of repentance. If you know the Old Testament, when they are grieving or they're mourning or they are in a time of repentance, they wore sackcloth and ashes. And so this is a time to mark you to say that I'm in a season of repenting. I'm in a season of, Lord, search me. Find anything that is against you in there and reveal it to me. It's a time of readjustment in my life to you. And that's what the marking is. So we'll have stations in the altar this Wednesday from 6 to 7:30. And you're not here long unless you want to stay and talk to other people. You come up, we mark you, we pray over you, and we bless you in your journey with the Lord during this time. So let's look at Matthew 6. And so what we're going to be looking at, we're going to begin with verses 1 and 2. And it's talking about how the Lord rewards. Be careful not to practice your righteousness. Remember, we just had Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You'll be blessed and you'll be satisfied. So now the Lord teaches in the next chapter, in this sermon, that watch how you practice your righteousness. And it's actually His righteousness in us. And be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, to be applauded by people. I assure you, they already have their reward. So I want to teach you that the Lord does, our Heavenly Father does reward us. You know, that's not too bad of a deal, is it? Sometimes we think He doesn't do that, and He does that. And it'll be the gift that He wants to give to us, but He does reward. I think it's okay for you to think that. I'm not talking about prosperity preaching. I'm just talking about the Father rewards your faithfulness. And I want you to see that. Look at Hebrews 11, 6. It's actually one of my life verses. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's not how hard you work for Him. It's how much you believe in Him. For the one who draws near to God, near to Him, must believe that He exists. And look at the last lines. And He rewards those who seek Him. So I'm going to refer to this several times today. And Jesus knows the Father. I want you to remember this. He knows the Father, and He knows the Father sees us, and He knows the Father rewards us. So the warning in Matthew 6 is, don't do this for the attention of any other people. Whether we're talking about giving, or we're talking about praying, or we're talking about fasting, we don't do this to be known to other people for it. We just want to do it before the Father. And there's a very specific reason why we do that. So let's look at Matthew 6, 2 through 4. I just read 2 to you as well. I'll read it again. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to be applauded. I assure you, they have their reward. Verse 3, but when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, don't just shout it out to everybody, so that your giving may be in secret. And look what Jesus says in his sermon. And your Father who sees in secret, he will be able to reward you. I just want you to know I'm following Matthew 6 as he preaches it. And I think it's funny that he talks about giving first. I find that really hilarious. I can remember in putting all these sermons together that I just find that funny that he does that. I want to remind you in verses 2 and 3, the Lord says in his sermon, when you give, not if you give. I love to preach Matthew 6 right before the Easter service. And I love these little sayings that he has, when. It's when, not if, that you give. If you are a believer and a follower of Christ, giving is a part of your life and the spiritual discipline of your life. It's giving. When we give, I was taught this, and I know it from experience too, but I was discipled in this way. When I give, when Julie and I give, we most resemble our Heavenly Father when we're giving. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, just give me the next two words, he gave. When he's giving, incredibly giving, and when we give, we are resembling him. It says in verse 4, this is between you and the Father. It's between you and him. So there's expectation. It's when we give, not if we give. Look at Matthew 6:19-21 for a moment. I want to jump ahead on some verses about what Jesus says about things. He says, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth. And look at the three different things that he gives us that are earthly, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So three earthly things is go back to the verse 19, if you will, that is are moths, rust, and thieves. I grew up, my mom had mothballs everywhere in our house. As I talk to you, I can smell the mothballs in our house. And I remember finding them going, what in the hay is this? You know, I'm like, my goodness. And they'd be in the corners of every drawer in our house, whether it was drawers in a dresser or a chest of drawers, closets. I can remember as a teenager going, everybody's going to hate me. My clothes are going to smell like mothballs, you know? So I'd have to put on the Brute. Y'all remember Brute cologne? I'd have to just douse myself with Brute. So moths are eating it away. Rust is destroying it, or thieves break in and steal. Three earthly things. I just want you to know that he says those earthly things won't affect the treasures that you have in heaven. But collect yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth, rust, or thieves are there. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And what does he look at? He looks at your heart. He looks at your heart. I want you to notice and to be able to see of what he thinks about things. He puts more emphasis on you in eternity than he does earthly things. So here we are. Julie and I are going through me, Mom, and Papaw's house since they have passed away. Since September of last year, we've gone through 2 COVIDs, 2 flus, pneumonia, and all the effects of that. So I have just felt behind, you know, in everything. I look at every area of my life and I just feel like I've just been battling some kind of sickness, or Julie has, and just been behind. So these warm days that came upon us, I have been hauling junk away like crazy. And I've just called myself the junk man, you know? And I look at it, and I don't know about you all, but I just get so tired of just looking at it. I haven't used it in years, but then I just move it around to store other stuff next to it and make it fit the puzzle. Do you know what I'm saying? And I've just been, I've just adopted this phrase that I did when we moved Julie's parents from Campbellsville to Lawrenceburg, that if, when in doubt, just throw it out, you know? And I'll look at it. I'm looking at stuff that I've been looking at and haven't used for 30 years. And I've just called myself the junk man. And I've tried to put some kind of system into it, you know. And Julie, so we've just been doing that together, mainly her at her house, and then me at our house, because there's things at our house that are me, mom, and papaw's, and so we just got to go through all of it, and we are. When we enter this time of Easter focus, guys, sometimes we just accumulate the garbage and the junk in our life and just live with it. And today we're going to start with communion today, and I'm glad we are. As we reach this week and a focus on Easter, even when you come to take communion today, if you take communion today, then let it be a restart for you. This table is a table of transformation and remembrance, his body given and his blood shed for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we remember his sacrifice today. So I think it's timely that we come to the table to begin this new focus and this refocus in our lives. And we all need it. And it becomes a time, beginning at this table, let's just get rid of the garbage. Let's just get rid of it. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord, and find anything that is within me that's not pleasing to you. And remember, when it comes to giving, you are a generous church. We're going to show some of that in just a moment. We've always tried to be that. We're going to always strive to be that. But the picture here is work in this season of being generous. Ask the Father on how you can bless other people, what you can do. Some of it may be you give your time to somebody else to help them out. it could be a picture that is just acts of kindness that you do for somebody else and you work it in. It is money, but it's not always about money. But it is, but not alone. There are things that you can do. So I want to remind you that Jesus knows the Father, and the Father sees your generous heart. And when he sees your generous heart, he will reward that. I'm going to let them cue the video. Bill Howard is a pastor in Lexington, South Carolina. Bill's been a dear friend of our family for a long, long time. I've known Bill well over 30 years. In fact, there was a time in our life when Julie and I and the kids were moving to Lexington, South Carolina, and I was going to be the teaching pastor of the church that he pastored. And we went there for a view of a call on the weekend and went through it, pretty much a done deal, just really going through the motions. And then I can remember preaching at their service and the Lord telling me, "You're not to be here." And I cut it off after, I didn't cut the sermon off, but I've never done that, have I? But after that weekend, we stopped everything from them. Bill and I have remained close friends. Bill had a ministry in Haiti that we were connected with, Alex's House, Disciples Village. Steve and Vicki Haddix out of our church went there, served on staff there. The earthquake came a few years ago, and when it came, a lot of children just running around Haiti and with their parents. They'd been killed in the earthquake, and the kids had nowhere to go. If you understand predator prey work, the human trafficking people saw that they could pick up these kids. So they go in and set up shelters and makeshift shelters where they could be fed and they could be clothed and they could be sheltered, not knowing they were surrendering their lives into human trafficking. So many orphanages in Haiti were developed when this earthquake happened to offset the human trafficking issue as well. And Alex's House is one of those, named after one of the guys that was killed in the earthquake who had a dream of starting an orphanage. And so Alex's House was birthed out of all that happening. We've been very active there. They got land and built a compound, an educational place, buildings. You all have given the water filtration systems there and for other communities in that area. You've built buildings, you've poured concrete. Many of y'all have been there teaching and training and helping in construction work, all kinds of things. Well, the gangs came in and took over that area. They took over the compound. They had to leave. They'll never go back there. It's gone. It's destroyed. They've destroyed it all. The kids went into town, found a rental house, but you're going to hear from the story what happened. So I want you to hear Bill, because we gave during Joash. We knew this was happening to them, that they were basically homeless and in need and in great danger. So you've given, we've given, I'm just being preacher here and rounding up or around $12,000 or maybe even a little more we've given to them. In this segment of generosity, I want you to hear a thank you from somebody that you've been very generous to. Watch this video.
Hello, Hope Church. I'm Bill Howard. One of our most loved ministries in Haiti, Alex's House Orphanage, was in a very difficult situation. The gangs were raping and burning, pillaging and murdering, and they were nearing our doorsteps. To flee their violence, our staff gathered up all of our children in the middle of the night, loaded them into our cargo truck, and under the cover of darkness escaped to the mountains while the gangs were in pursuit. Before the gangs could find them there, the Lord stepped in and gave us a miracle. He provided a helicopter evacuation. Hope Church, because of your generous love offering, we've now relocated to a safer part of the country. We have housing, furnishings, food, clothes, and all of our children are again enrolled in school and getting settled into their new life. And you gave this love offering out of your heart for us. We are so grateful for that. So Pastor Jeff and all the Hope family, thank you for standing with us. From all of us at Disciples Village, we say thank you and God bless you.
You give to four other orphanages. We do this all monthly. We give to them on a monthly basis, but especially this overall. I just wanted you to hear his thank you to all of us. Listen, guys, the Lord extends and blesses all of our generosity that's in his name. We practice our righteousness. Remember, hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be blessed and you'll be satisfied. And in this, our righteousness is passed on and lived out by just being generous people. And thank you for that. I know, and we're still going to bless them and continue to bless them. Look at Matthew 6:5-8. We talk about prayer. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, or to be seen by people. I assure you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, find a secluded place. It could be outside, weather permitting. It could be somewhere, just shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need even before you ask them, but he still wants us to ask. Remember verses 5, 6, and 7, Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray. It's part of who we are. It's part of our following the Lord. With not a big spectacle in the public, it's just meant for you and the Father. Please know that when we're praying like this and in devotion like this and even in generosity, that our lives are connecting to be in rhythm with the life of the Father. That's a goal that we have. Not just here, I'm glad you're here, but the rest of this week, I really want your life and really want to challenge you and encourage you. Is my life and my heart beating in rhythm with the heart of the Father? The Lord's Prayer is listed here in verses 9 through 13. We're not going to go there. But go and realize Jesus, he remember this, he knows the Father. He knows the Father sees you, and he knows the Father rewards you. There are times in my praying that I will only ask the Father for certain things that I won't tell anybody else. I may reveal to him way on down the road, but there are times in my conversations that I ask things from my Heavenly Father that I never talk to another human being about it. And I want to tell you, I watch him work in that. It brings great confidence to me that he hears me and he sees me and he brings his reward. I not only know that through the lives of other people, I have my own stories of things that there's things that I've prayed even the last few years. I didn't reveal to any of you all that I prayed that, even about our church. And it just makes me know that my life and his life are in rhythm together. That becomes, we're asking, you know, the first place we go to is we go to the Father and we go there in prayer. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. He talks about fasting. Baptists love to go here, don't we? When we're known for potlucks, we go to fasting. And he says, whenever you fast, don't be sad faced like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive. So their fasting is obvious to people. I assure you they have the reward. Verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head, get cleaned up, you know, when you're quick, go back to 17, if you will. Put oil on your head and wash your face, verse 18, so that you don't show your fasting to people, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's again in verses 16 through 18, he says, when you fast, not if you fast. There's expectation here. And listen, fasting is meant to be a struggle. It's meant for you to ask the Father for strength that you don't have. Are you all listening to me? We need to design it to where, you know, we'll just will it. Well, fasting has to be in a way that you're asking the Father to bring you help in your struggle. Again, it's not for recognitions between you and the Father. I've already told you, you can fast from social media, TV, food, whatever. You know, there could be a lot of things that you can look up and see that you can be a part of when it comes to fasting. But again, it's meant to replace it. Don't just leave it empty. Have a replacement for that with prayer and devotion, even acts of generosity. Let me give you a common sense way that you can take fasting and generosity and mix them together. Let's just say Monday through Friday, you say, I'm going to fast one meal a day. I'm going to eat two meals a day instead of three. Well, whatever you would spend on that one meal, $10 to $15, whatever it would be, if you were buying it out in the public, then you do that for 5 days, you've got either $50 or $75. Then take the money that you used in your fast that you didn't eat, and then take the money that you would have spent on that, and then use it to be generous with that. That's one way. You all can figure these things out. I just wanted to give you a picture of them. Again, you may want to give your time. You may want to give acts of kindness in this as well. Just know the Father sees you, that you are fasting on behalf of Him, in your relationship with Him, and that He rewards you. Remember, Jesus knows the Father, and He sees, the Father sees, and He rewards us. John 3:30 is a verse that I want to use with you today. And we can use it in a lot of clever ways, but this really becomes a guide from John the Gospel writer, the beloved of Christ, that this can be our focus during this time beginning this Wednesday. Obviously, it should be part of our life all the time. But He must increase and I must decrease. Remember, when we do this focus, the world is going out and we're letting the kingdom of God come in. And He'll use you in incredible, incredible ways. We offer communion today. I've already spoken about it. We, as I've been saying, remember Jesus knows the Father and the Father sees and rewards. One of the greatest rewards and blessings we have is His Son, by which in the Pace Prayer, His grace and His mercy and His love and His forgiveness and His salvation, all those things are all through Christ that He gives to us. And so we remember the Lord today. We remember His body given and we remember His blood shed, His sacrifice. I think it's good that we're starting this, as I said earlier, because if we do this, we're going to enter a time of sacrifice. And as we remember His sacrifice, then we continue to work in ours. And we go back and remember so that we can go forward with Him today. And I pray over you. That's one reason we ask you to come on Wednesday if you choose to do that Wednesday night. is we really do want to bless you in this. Even hear what you may be doing to pray for you along the way. So this is the Lord's table today. It's not mine, it's not ours, it's his. And it can be a pivotal marker point of turnaround in your life today, a 180 in your life today. It's meant to do that. We remember and we give thanks and we identify with his sacrifice. So let me pray over you, church. Let's come and remember him. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. He's the indescribable gift that Paul preached about, lived, and wrote about. And we thank you. Everything, Father, that you give us is given to us through your Son. And we say thank you for that love for us. We say thank you for the work and the obedience of Jesus. And we remember him today, Lord. And we remember not only how much he loves us, but you sending him, demonstrating that, is a sign of your love for us. Thank you for being a God that takes his enemies, and then you take us and make us your sons and your daughters, all through Christ himself. It's in his name that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Come and remember.